And good morning. Welcome to the morning show for Wednesday, last Wednesday in May, May 29th. I'm Chris Bessler. I'm one of your hosts here today. I'm here with my co-host.
Good morning, Chris. It's Susie Prez here.
Susie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
And what's happening here on the morning show today?
Well, there's a lot going on here, and there's a lot going on for the next week and a half. But today, we're very happy to have Jean Voorhees. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
And Susan Drumhiller. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
They're representing the Bay Trail Fun Run, and it's coming up on the 9th.
June 9th.
Right after the KRFY membership drive. So we're going to hear all about that. And we have a second group of guests, Mel Dick, Alana Westfell, and Liam Orton from Chafe 150 Grand Fondo. It's coming up the next weekend.
All right. So we're all about getting out, getting healthy, enjoying our beautiful place with these great events that are coming up.
Pretty amazing, actually.
And I think we're going to have some pretty nice weather for that. At least we're going to have nice weather for the next few days. To get into the weather forecast here. Today, it's going to be sunny with a high of 82 degrees. That's feeling like summer, huh?
Wow.
I was right. Although it does seem kind of hazy out there. Did you guys notice? I mean, are we getting smoke already, or what is going on?
I think we just haven't had enough rain.
Yeah. Well, we haven't had enough rain. Yeah. And hopefully that we do get our usual June showers to keep things clean and clear around here. But tonight will be mostly clear, a low of 52. Thursday, we're going to see a chance of thunderstorms with a high of 82. Thursday night, it's going to be a low of 55. We're going to continue with those chances of thunderstorms. Friday, same thing, 82 degrees, chance of thunderstorms. Getting into the weekend, highs again in the 80s with mostly sunny each day, chances of thunderstorms. So it's almost like summer.
That's right.
And what else is going on around town, Susie?
Well, all I'm focusing on right now is the KRFY annual membership on-air drive that we're having coming up June 7th and 8th. So I'm scheduling all kinds of people to come in and talk to us. And even next week, leading up to the membership drive, we will be having special morning shows on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then on Friday and Saturday, live broadcasting for 12 hours both days. And it's really a party, and the community's invited to come up to our station at 323 North First Avenue and have fun with us and really celebrate the fact we have a community radio station right here in North Idaho and everything that that means.
And it is a really good chance for folks not just to tune in, but to stop by the radio station. If you're walking up First Avenue or just one door down from Larson's, is how I usually tell people, because everybody knows where Larson's is. You're going through the doors for the Hollins Gallery up the stairs, and that's the glorious KRFY studios right there at the top of the stairs.
And it will be a party for those 2 days, June 7th and 8th. Although yesterday someone showed up and said, I want to make a donation. I said, well, great. Come on in. So our doors are open when someone's here. But for those 2 days, we're live broadcasting. We have a lot of music, community conversations going on. So we hope people do show up and tune in.
Yes, and we are a completely underwriter and donor-supported station. There's no tax money. There's no big money from anywhere other than the community itself. So if we're going to have a community radio station, folks do need to support it if they appreciate what we do here. In fact, they could donate right this very minute.
And how would they do that, Chris?
They do that by calling our phone number. It's 208-265-2992. Or you could do it online. You could go to KRFY.org, and there's a donate button right there in the upper right side. You could click on that and make a donation.
And those donations are coming in, so we want you, if you're listening, to become a member. And really, by just making a donation, you are a member. You're part of the KRFY family of support, and we appreciate it.
We certainly do. Couldn't do it without you, quite literally. Other things going on around town. We are going to have, it's going to be a glorious weekend weather-wise, and that means it's going to be a great time for the Basin Trail Festival, which is happening up on Schweitzer. Actually, you go to the Schweitzer Roundabout, and it's an opportunity to help improve the trails, the mountain bike trails and the hiking trails that are up there on Schweitzer, and also to ride them and have fun with other folks that are like-minded. That's going on. And then another really cool event this weekend on Saturday is the annual Sand Creek Paddlers Challenge. And that's for families and serious racers alike. It's put on by the Sandpoint Parks and Recreation Department. You can find more information about that event, also the Basin Trail Festival, and a ton of other things that are going on around town this week. If you go to our calendars at krfy.org, click on the community calendars button, or go to sandpointonline.com, which provides those calendars. And with that, let's jump into an event that's coming up just a little more than a week away.
Well, we'll talk about the Bay Trail Fun Run that's coming up. And Gene Voorhees, let's start with you. You're the new race director. And let's give a shout out to Nancy Dooley for her years, 6 years at least.
Absolutely, yeah. 6 years.
For being the race director, but now you've taken that over. How did you get wrangled into that?
Well, I've actually worked with the Friends of Pend Oreille Bay Trail before at Pend Oreille Neighborhood Days. So it was a good match. Susan approached me and asked, and I said yes.
Good. And what are you finding? What's going on? So tell us about the race and what we need to do at this, what we want the listeners to know.
All right. So this is the 7th annual Bay Trail Fun Run. It is June 9th. The race starts at 9 a.m. Registration is open. You can go to pobtrail.org and register now online. Registration online is open until June 8th at noon. And then you can come in person to Trinity at City Beach from 4 to 6 and register in person. That's also our packet pickup, 4 to 6, June 8th. And the run is, there's a 5K and a 10K, and it's a run and a walk. And all are welcome. Children 12 and under are free. The race is $25 if you register by Saturday. It's $30 if you register Sunday morning.
Yeah, and we've had crews out there last couple weeks, and I think they're going out again next week. To do a little bit of trail maintenance, like cutting back some of the brush. So if you're running along the Pend Oreille Bay Trail, you're not going to get like a branch in your face or something. So, but you do have to watch your step because it's a pretty natural surface on the Bay Trail for the 5K. And then the 10K comes back and it goes under the bridge on Bridge Street, or the, you know, the train bridge and the highway bridge, and then it goes up Sand Creek. So that's on a paved pathway. So the 10K continues on the Sand Creek trail.
So the 5K is out and back to the end of the Pend Oreille Bay Trail. And as you mentioned, it is a natural surface. Mm-hmm. I'd say watch for roots.
Yes, yeah. Roots. And they did spray paint some of them with some red paint so that hopefully you can see them better. But it actually doesn't go to the end of the Pend Oreille Bay Trail. It just goes out far enough and doubles back to make it a 5K.
Okay. And then they circle around and then they get on the Sand Creek Trail, the new paved trail, and out to how far out down that? About the end of that?
It goes out to about where the highway crosses. I think maybe just a little bit beyond there.
Yeah. What that trail now, it actually goes all the way into Pend Oreille. It's if people haven't done these trails, and you don't have to do them on these races, go check them out right now because they're great walking and biking paths.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
One of the questions I have, I think you may have mentioned, this is a competitive race too for some people. It's a fun run, family fun run kind of thing, but it's also could be with a 10K a competitive race that people want to get win.
Yes.
And you might have prizes. So are you having two different starts for the people that want to get their time down, or how are you working that?
So the we have two different starts, 9 and 9:15, and there it is officially timed, and we have awards at the end. But the 10K starts first, and then the 5K goes. I believe that's the order. Yeah.
And do you get a lot of competitive racers?
That's a good question. I mean, some of them are really competitive, but you know, our focus has been more about the family fun run. So that'd be a good question for Nancy Dooley.
Yes, it would.
Now she's not here. Yeah, but no, we've had some really fast runners.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I imagine that's a great opportunity for, say, high school kids or even college kids that are looking to notch a win and a competitive race or just make a nice time for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. And like I said, there's awards passed out to the top race winners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the event is, it's a fundraiser.
Mm-hmm. And, it's our key fundraiser.
And who are we? What tell we, us about the Pondre Bay Trail.
Well, Friends of the Pondre Friends Bay of Trail.
Pondre Trail, yeah.
Well, we are the organization, basically the stewards and the advocates for the trail. We helped lead the effort to raise funds to open the trail up to the public because it's always been bum jungle to people over the years. And it was not really publicly accessible before because it was you had to cross private property to get there, but with the fundraiser the campaign that we ran about 8 years ago or so, that brought the property into public hands, the city of Sandpoint and the city of Pondere, so that the public could actually get on the trail legally instead of having to ask permission from the Hall family, which owned the property along the shoreline for, you know, forever. And Dan Hall still owns some of the property down at the far end of the trail, and but he's provided, you know, an easement, basically a public easement. So it's been a really a wonderful opportunity to introduce the Bay Trail Fun Run. One reason we did it was we wanted to introduce people to the trail and make sure people knew that it was a public asset now. And but it also became our key fundraiser. And yeah.
And the Friends group is, as you mentioned earlier, is involved in maintenance of the trail.
Yeah, we do a little bit of maintenance. There's, it, you know, it's one of those things that kind of takes care of itself a lot too. But if there are maintenance issues, like a tree down or it just starts to get overgrown, we'll go out and address that. And we also have been funding. There's a porta potty at the trailhead. So we've been funding that. And then we've got a lot of plans. Like if you go on our website, PondereBayTrail.org, or it's actually POBTrail.org, there's a master plan there that kind of outlines a lot of the future plans we have for the trail.
And one big future plan or hope, I think, is to connect it up to Pondere in a better way than it is right now.
Yeah, just as you had to trespass to get to the trail from the Sandpoint end, you still have to trespass, and it's even more dangerous in Pondere because you have to cross the railroad tracks in order to get there if you want to go there from Pondere. And a lot of people have done that over the years. There's kind of a beaten path that leads to the tracks and across the tracks. So it's a big safety issue for the railroad. They're really concerned about it. So we've been trying to get a federal grant to fund an underpass in Pondere.
And what's the status of that?
Excuse me?
What's the status of that?
Well, we went for a planning grant last year, and the grant program we're applying through is called the BUILD grant. It used to be the TIGER program, and it's changed under the current administration. It's changed in a lot of ways, but it's still, you know, the one grant program you can go to fund things like this. And last year we went for a planning grant so that we could come up with the funding to design and engineer the underpass. We didn't get it because they downgraded all the planning grants. They wanted to fund construction. So we're considering going for a construction grant this year.
And does that mean that you'd have upfront expense for the planning part of it before you get the construction
grant? We would include planning and construction all wrapped into it.
And I'm wondering how much the railroad would partner with that at all financially?
Well, we don't know how much they'll partner with us financially. We're hoping that they'll work with us to make the right-of-way affordable, because that's part of it is, you know, we have to pay for right-of-way, an easement across the tracks, right? And so that potentially could be really expensive. So we're not sure exactly what that's going to be yet. But they have expressed a lot of interest in the project and, you know, pledged letters of support. We got you know, letters last year, and you know, hoping to get those this year as well.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible that with Burlington Northern Santa Fe considering or proposing moving ahead with building a second railroad bridge across the lake, that this could be a mitigation effort for them? You know, in a sense, you add some stress on the community when you undertake a construction project like that. And one way you offset that is say, well, you know, we know we're harming the community or setting the community back in some fashion over here, but we'll try to make up for it in another way. And could that be part of the conversation?
I guess it could be. And I think that's probably something that may come up in those discussions, which are really at the very beginning stages.
Okay. Well, let's get back on the race.
So, Gene Voorhees, how would someone access, what are you looking for as far as numbers? How are you doing with your registration at this point in time?
Well, we're doing really well with the registration, but we still need more people. A lot of people come in person, and it's kind of last minute. So the more people that can sign up early online, the better. We have 205 people registered as of today, and that's 55 more people than this time last year. So we're looking really good on our numbers, and we're excited. But please go to pobtrail.org and register online. And another thing I wanted to mention, a new thing this year, is that the festival at Sandpoint has donated two season passes. So just by registering, you're entered into a raffle for season passes to the festival at Sandpoint.
The festival's really great about doing that.
Yes, they are. Yes, right. They are. And we've got lots of wonderful sponsors that have been big supports for the Friends of Ponderay Bay Trail and the run.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could rattle off some others. You have some like gold sponsors? Or?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, so the Bay Trail Fun Run is hosted by the Friends of Ponderay Bay Trail and Trinity at City Beach. You go down to Trinity at City Beach, like I mentioned earlier, from 4 to 6 for the packet pickup, and the race starts there. Another one of our wonderful sponsors is the Kalispell Tribe and Northern Quest Resort and Casino. Evergreen Realty, Fragosa Incorporated, Equinox Foundation, and Ting all are one of our top sponsors that we greatly appreciate. I don't know if you want me to keep going on and listing.
Well, you could right now.
Great. So I'll do it because it's a big shout out and thank you to Mountain West Bank, Sweet Lou's Restaurant and Bar, Berg McLaughlin and Nelson Attorneys, Keoki, Idagon Homes, North Idaho Title, Platy and Associates, Winter Ridge Natural Foods, the festival at Sandpoint, like I mentioned, and of course, KRFY.
Yeah, we're a proud sponsor of the Bay Trail Fun Run. So this is a big event. It really, do you find that people come from outside the area, or is this pretty centrally located to our own community as far as participants in the run?
You know, there are people that come from outside. Actually, I just got a phone call the other day from Arizona. A gentleman was asking about the run. So it's mostly local, but we get Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, different areas around here, but we also get some people from outside too.
And how many folks? I mean, what are the numbers?
Last year, I believe there was around 425. I think we're going to hit 500 this year is our goal, which is really exciting.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I know a lot of people like to travel and go to runs. And so I hope our chamber knows all about this. I'm sure they do.
Oh, absolutely. Chamber's been very supportive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got a picture, a ribbon cutting down on the trail yesterday, which was really kind of fun. We had a beautiful day, and you know, when we had to do our ribbon cutting, we're like, well, we should do it down on the trail. We don't really have an office, but this is...
So you did a ribbon cutting as a new chamber member?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hadn't been chamber members before. I think it was long overdue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was so great. As we were taking the picture, a gentleman ran by with the Bay Trail Fun Run t-shirt on.
Yeah. So it was perfect.
Did he stop and pose for a picture?
He missed the picture, but we all cheered him on.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Well, KRFY is a chamber member too, and we have to do our ribbon cutting, so we'll get on that. That's a good reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you bet. Anything else you want to tell us about the fun run? We got just a few minutes left here.
Well, one thing I just wanted to clarify, you know, when we were talking about the grant, it's not the Friends that apply for it. It's actually the City of Ponderay. So one thing I failed to mention was that we work really closely with the City of Ponderay on that project because, It's in their city, and it's their trail, and you know, just as it's the city of Sandpoint's trail, it's not the Friends trail, it's the community's trail. And you know, our mission really is to work with the cities and the community to try to make this more available to mm-hmm. everybody here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an opportunity for Ponderé to have waterfront access, a waterfront access park right in their city. So, and I know that you also help with the Neighbor Day event that they have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you've had two of those. Is there going to be a third?
There's one. I think it's Saturday. I think this. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I think it's September 15th this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a really fun event as well.
Yeah.
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 And the opportunity to raise support for the trail too.
Yeah. And it's just great for Ponderé to have a community event. They used to have Ponderé Days, and now we have Ponderé Neighbor Day. It's just one day, but it's just a super fun event and to celebrate you know, the neighbors, and it's not just about Ponderé, but the way we connect as a larger community too.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to get out on the trail once in a while, frequently even. It's a great dog walking place, but are there dog walking etiquette rules or not necessarily rules, but things you'd like people to observe when they're there with their dogs?
Well, one thing that I think is really unique about the trail is, you know, you can have your dogs off leash, right? There's very few places you can do that in, you know, say a city park or something. So the rule basically is your dog should be under voice control. And if your dog is not, you know, very well behaved, you should have it on a leash. But, you know, it's the honor system. There haven't been too many problems with dogs down there, I don't think, except some people fail to pick up their droppings, which, as you see signs in other communities, there is no poop fairy. So you have to pick up your own poop. And there are doggy bags, you know, mutt mitts at the trailhead, and there's a garbage can. And that used to be something the Friends would fund, and we would clean out, but now the City of Sandpoint's taking care of that. Thank you very much, City of Sandpoint, for taking that over. But it requires everybody to clean up after their pets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I do know one thing about the Bay Trail Fund. We just have to say thank you for the fact that we have that to a whole bunch of different people. It's been ongoing, as you said. It's changed over the years, getting access through the hall property and things like that. But what an asset to our community, not only for us but for visitors, to really have access to that. It's so beautiful all year long.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, so what a wonderful thing, and the work you're doing to bring in funds for it. This is the Bay Trail Fun Run Group. Gene Voorhees, race director this year, congratulations, and I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun. And again, the information about how to sign up.
So register by noon, June 8th online at pobtrail.org, or you can come in person down to Trinity at City Beach between 4 and 6 for packet pickup or in-person registration Saturday, June 8th. Hope to see you there.
And the run is June 9th.
And the run is June 9th, 9 a.m.
Yep.
Beautiful Sunday morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, coming up.
Really fun.
Okay, with that, we have another group coming in. We're going to be talking with some folks from the Chafe 150 bike ride. It's actually more than just a 150. They got a whole bunch of different routes, and we're going to be talking about that. But first, we're going to take a musical break while we bring them in. This is Beth and Cindy. They're playing Route 66.
Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles along the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Goes to St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri,
Oklahoma City looks all so pretty. You'll see Amarillo, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona. Don't forget Winona, Kingston, Boston, San Bernardino. Won't you get hip to this kind of tip when you take that California trip? Get your kicks on Route 66.
And that was Beth and Cindy with Route 66. And we have new guests in the studio now. We have three folks from the Chafe Bike Ride.
We have Alana Westville. Good morning, Alana.
Good morning.
And we have Mel Dick.
Good morning.
And Liam Orton.
Good morning.
You're new.
I am.
What are you doing with Chafe 150?
Well, I'm excited to be here, and we are helping out with the Family Fun Ride. So we're kind of partnering with Rotary and then Rotaract to help make this happen. And so, yeah, really excited to be here and love to talk a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, let's start off with the stats here. When is the Chafe 150, and how do people get involved with it?
Chafe 150 is on Saturday, June 15th. So you can go to www.chafe150, that's chafe150.org, and you can register there. You can learn a lot more about the ride. You'll see the route maps. You'll see where the brake stops are. You'll see every single detail you need to know at the website. You can also visit our Facebook page and get some updates about special events and different things that we have going on.
And you do have at least one special event prior to the ride, and this is a relatively new development. But Mel, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, last year we had a rider. In fact, he finished the ride first, and he is a fellow named Tristan Chernov. He's from Cranbrook, British Columbia, and after the ride, he called us and told us that he was a Paralympic gold medalist and world champion track and road racer, and we did not know that at all, and he offered to help us promote the ride. So on June 14th, which is the day of registration, from 5:30 to 7:30, Tristan is going to be the featured speaker for about 150 guests at a dinner that we're going to hold the night before the ride.
And, of course, you don't have to be a rider to do this. If you just want to hear a world-class elite athlete speak, you could come to the dinner.
Yes, it's open to the public, and you can purchase tickets for it. Tickets are $35. For that, you get a meal. You get a complete meal, which will be a pasta buffet, and a couple tickets for a glass of wine or a beer.
Yeah, and so a great thing by Tristan. Thanks to Tristan for donating his time for that.
It's a really great way to, if you're not going to ride in the race, it's a great way to support Chafe 150 and all the work that really this ride brings about in our community, which is a whole other subject we can get to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tristan's going to be riding in the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, and it's a great opportunity to hear about his training schedule, how he deals with a disease that he has that's similar to MS, and also meet your fellow riders and have a really great time. It's going to be held under the big tent beachside at City Beach on Friday. So go to the Facebook page, and you'll see the event, and you can sign up through the link there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the pre-ride event that's coming up. But let's talk about the ride itself. There's a whole bunch of different distances. You know, the website is chafe150.org. The ride is the chafe150. But the 150 is just one of the lengths and the routes that the overall event encompasses. So tell us a bit more about the different rides.
Yeah, in the past, the race or the ride has always been 150, 80, and a 30-mile ride. This year, we added two new major routes, which are 100 and a 40. They're really just extensions of the 30 and the 80-mile, and then the family fun ride that Liam mentioned before. The 150 is our signature ride. It's by far the most popular ride. And it really attracts cyclists from all over the country and from Canada as well. So we're very excited about adding the two new routes. Our numbers are up substantially this year. We now have 365 riders. And last year at this time, we were a little bit over 200. I don't know if that means people are registering early or not, but yeah. We're on pace to be well over 400 riders.
Oh, that's great. And as you mentioned, the 150 brings people because it's you can be a serious rider to undertake that. But there's all these other lengths that you don't have to necessarily be a hardcore bike rider to take a part in. And let's talk specifically about the family fun route.
Yeah, certainly. Again, we're really excited about this event. The first year that we're doing it, a lot of time and effort and planning has gone into this, but we think it's going to be a great ride for the community. So if you have young children or if you're a grandparent and would like to do something with your grandkids, we think this is going to be the perfect event and a great way to kick off the summer. The ride starts at City Beach, and there's going to be a police escort from City Beach to Boyer. We're expecting to have a fire engine there. There's going to be support along the ride, and it goes to Dover City Park. At Dover City Park, there's going to be a lot of festivities there as well. Kids can enjoy face painting, bouncy castle, magicians, and a bunch of other things, as well as literacy activities, because really what the whole benefit of this ride is for is the after-school reading program and literacy programs, and we're wanting to tie those themes in together.
Mm-hmm. And just riding through town with a police escort, it's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, I think so.
Much fun.
I think so, yeah. I think it'll be very exciting.
The kids will love that with the police car and the lights going and leading them through town.
Yeah.
You have a couple of young ones?
I do. I have three young girls. Ages are 7, 4, and 2. And so, yeah, we're very excited. My second daughter, Alia, she just got her training wheels off a number of weeks ago, and she hasn't been off her bike. It's tough to get her to come in for dinner. So we're training her up for the ride.
So it's about 2 miles down to Dover. You think she'll make that?
I'm sure she'll make it. Okay. I'm sure she'll make it. Otherwise, you know, there's always going to be support if you need it. You know, and also there, you know, there's going to be snacks and refreshments and other things. So I believe also that the dish down at Dover is going to be doing a special menu as well. So if you need to have a bite, there's certainly going to be options as mm-hmm. well.
And that route is, of course, it's along the bike path. So it's traffic separated. It's very safe for the kids.
Yes, yeah. It's a very safe ride. We're going to have crossing guards all the places where traffic would go across the road to hold back the riders until it's safe. And we're also, the requirement is that for younger children under the age of 14, that they're riding with an adult chaperone. The adult chaperone is free of charge. They don't need to pay. Children under the age of 5 also are free. So children 6 and up are $10. So it's a nominal amount. There's, you know, if you register early, you know, you're getting a t-shirt, a goodie bag, bouncy castle, face painting. All of these activities at Dover Bay are free, or Dover City Park are free. So we think that there's a lot of value for the community, and it all is going for a great cause, which is, again, going back into the schools.
And what were the ages for that again?
So from age Up to 5 is free of charge. 6 and above is $10 for registration. And then chaperoning or accompanying adults are free.
And so what age would be the high age that you're suggesting? Because maybe by 10 you could do the 30 miler or something.
Sure. I think that that's certainly a point. It depends on how athletic or, you know, ambitious the person is. Also, depending on your family setup, if you have younger siblings as well, it may be more fun to do the family fun ride. But yes, I would think probably somewhere in the vicinity of 11, 12 up, if someone's wanting to go for it, the 30-mile ride would be a great option.
So this is a difference between a ride. It's not a race. It's really to hang out with the family and have a really great time in Dover and ride your bike.
Yes.
They could even be in costumes, safe costumes or something.
Oh, yes, very much so. And, you know, if people need to walk at certain points, you know, it's supposed to be a fun family fun ride. I just like to emphasize that. So it's not, there's no, you know, it's not a rules and regulations type ride. It's a family fun ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a child that's 10 to 12 or 13, the 30-mile ride, they have to be determined.
Yes.
To do that. So it will depend on the individual kid, really, about what age they might want to bump up to that more serious ride.
Last year, we had a 7-year-old ride the 30-mile.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Yeah, and they made it the whole way?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
You know, what's so great about the Family Fun Ride is it gives every child in this area the chance to see what it's like to ride in a group ride. We're going to do a big deal with the finish line. There'll be cheering and, you know, they'll be part of it. And what a terrific opportunity to experience that.
Do you guys have an ulterior motive here?
We're training the young chafe riders. That's what we're doing.
Well, you know, okay, so we've talked about the family fun route. Tell a little bit more about the 30 and the 40. Those routes go into the Sully Valley.
Yeah, those routes start at City Beach. Oh, the 150, 30, and 40 start at City Beach Park. The 80 and the 100 start in Troy, Montana. So you have breakfast at City Beach, and then you're bussed over there along with your bikes. The 30 and 40 go into Sully Valley. The 30-mile turns around at the Pack River store. The 40-mile turns around basically 5 miles up the road from there and comes back. The 100-mile route also goes into the Sully Valley and joins up with the 30 and 40-mile routes as well. So it's the routes are kind of very consistent. We added the 100, really, because a lot of people want to say that they've ridden a century or 100 miles in their bicycling career. Mm-hmm. So, and it's become one of the more popular routes.
Oh, and just based on the registration
just
so far.
Based on registration so mm-hmm. far.
And of course, that you actually have the ability to sign up, say you're going to take on the 80, but because it follows the same route, there's a turn you can make. And so if you came in with enough energy, you could say, I'm going for the 100.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. You'd be able to do that. You know, one thing about going through the Sully Valley, if you've ridden out there, it's absolutely beautiful. You go by the alpaca farm out there. You see the mountain ranges on both sides.
Everything's totally green.
It is a spectacular ride.
And there's almost no hills. I mean, I think the 40 probably incorporates a climb.
The 40 will have a climb of about 500 feet in addition.
You know, Liam, you mentioned what the benefit is to this race as far as who will be benefiting, where the funds go, because this is a fundraiser. Would someone like to talk a little bit about that? And then I also want to get to some of the sponsors and the refreshment stops, those things. So here you go.
Yeah, the ride cause for the first 6 years that Rotary did this ride went to Lake Pondere School District with an emphasis on students on the autism spectrum. And over that 6 years, we donated $260,000. The ride cost for this year and the next 2 years is for the after-school reading and literacy program, and we're hoping to fund a new reading curriculum that the Lake Pondere School District is putting in place. This is just a fantastic thing when you think about everybody having a chance to read. You know, the adage of you learn to read through the third grade, and then you read to learn after the third grade, and nationally and locally, you know, approximately 40%+ of students aren't really ready to read coming out of the third grade or to learn to read coming out of the third grade. So if you're behind, you don't generally catch up. And Chris, you know this very well from your days at PAFE. So we're really excited about this new cause and the impact it's going to have on the entire district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned PAVE, that's the Panhandle Alliance for Education, and they've been supporting reading programs starting very young with kids at birth, basically, with mm-hmm. parents reading to their kids, the Ready for Kindergarten program that they have, which is another great community program as well.
You ask about the rest stops and our sponsors, and I really want to chat about this. We have over 100 sponsors this year, and it's been an amazing support from the community. I'd like to give out a special shout out to three of our platinum sponsors. Those are Ting, Remax, and Timberline Helicopter. And they've really stepped up with their sponsorship. In addition, we have a 20-some gold sponsors, which is a $2,500 commitment or above in terms of cash or in-kind services. And then the rest stops are all manned by community organizations. So we have Angels Over Sandpoint. We have KFRY doing one of them. KRFY, I'm sorry, KRFY, doing one. Lighthouse YMCA, Rotary, the Lake Pottery School District. And I think I've got them all there. Friends of Scotchman's Peak. I'm sorry about that.
Right.
So this ride has historically been known for its support, great on-road support with motorcycles, SAG vehicles, roving mechanics, wonderful rest stops. It's easy to actually gain weight on this ride, even though you ride 150 miles, because of the breakfast, the after-ride party, and the rest stops.
Yeah, the stops are just great. They kind of compete with each other.
There is a traveling trophy, and people do compete for the rest stops based on the rider input.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to fight who had the best. You could probably win it every time with that Huckleberry ice cream if...
Hot the bacon station.
Yeah.
Does that win quite a bit?
Yeah. So, let's see, Susie?
Go ahead. You know, we also have great fundraiser prizes. If you raise $4,000, you can win a new bike, and you're earning it, really. All the way down to $250, you can win a jersey and a 2020 registration. And for the family fun ride, we really want everyone to be able to win something. Even $25, if you raise $25, you're going to get a great prize. So the fundraising for riders is a really big element in this.
And so how does the fundraising work? The riders actually get a page, right?
Right. You get a page on CrowdRise set up for you when you register to ride. And then it's really as simple as sharing it to your social media and talking to your coworkers and your family about it. That's the best way to get donations. We've all seen that on Facebook. People are getting fundraisers for birthdays. This is great because all of the money stays local. It makes such a huge difference for our schools to have these programs that we're supporting. The after-school programs, it's just incredible what they're doing there and providing a great place for children to get that extra learning that they need, also have a place to be, to get meals, to get community members to come in and talk to them. It's really important that each rider does a little bit of fundraising. There is a $50 minimum donation that riders have to do, but anything above that is just wonderful. And as I say, you can win these really amazing prizes. Yeah.
If you're in the family fun ride and you raise $500 as a kid, you get a new bike as well.
Whoa.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. Brand new bike.
Greasy
fingers will professionally fit them for a bike.
Yeah.
And they'll ride away.
There's an incentive right there. Yeah. Having done the ride a few times myself, actually I found it really easy to get people to donate. You know, you say, hey, I'm going to do this ride and, you know, I'll put in the sweat. Would you pledge a little bit per mile to see if I can make it? Maybe they doubted I would make it. But I had a whole bunch of people that would donate that way. Yeah.
Well, if you ride this year, Chris, I'll pledge.
Okay. I'm talking to you next.
Have you registered yet,
Chris? I haven't. I'm trying to decide what I'm going to ride, but I don't know what length I'm going to go for.
What are you leaning towards?
Well, originally I was saying, what are you pinning me down here?
Yes, we are.
I'm probably at this stage of the game, considering I haven't got the training in, I might go for one of the shorter routes. Not like the 40, I might go for the 80, but we'll see.
The way you were talking about the fire engine and the police escort, I thought maybe you're going for the family fun ride.
You have to import a child. I'm just,
actually, you know, having done the 80 before, you don't partake of that, right? Because you're getting on the bus, but I've it's fun to watch the escort come through town with all those riders. They're having fun.
When you were talking about the early reading program and what CHAFE has supported all these years, like 260,000, I think I wrote down, for autism and now for the early literacy program, that is a real testament to communities, the spirit of a community. And I know that Trinity, ML, your group, has done amazing work with that. Greasy Fingers. And Elena, you've listed a lot of the, or someone listed the other sponsors. It's really a testament to this amazing community.
It is amazing. We get so much in-kind services as it relates to our publicity, our marketing. Lone Tree, Alana's firm, does a tremendous amount for us as well. It's just incredible to see, over 100 local businesses supporting this kind of ride. There aren't many other events where you get that kind of community support. And then the after ride party is open to the entire community. I mean, we would like nothing better than to just be packed at the beach down there and, a wonderful time with a great beer and wine garden.
Yeah, it's a party. Even if you don't do the ride, you could come see the riders and hear their stories of their war stories, so to speak, and enjoy the whole vibe. Yeah,
right. And I think the tickets are $10 for the barbecue, so it's catered by Trinity, so you know it's going to be fabulous. So come down to the beach, have a great time, a barbecue at the beach in June day. What could be bad about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing is some of the companies are putting together teams, like Bonner General has a team, Percussionaire, they're also sponsors, Quest has a team together. So I encourage everybody, you've got five people in your office, get them together, ride.
Yeah.
Great idea.
So this event is put on by the Sandpoint Rotary. You guys do a lot of good work around town. Just tell us a little bit about the Rotary.
Well, locally, our Rotary Club is about 85 members. We're part of an international organization called Rotary International, which has about 1.2 million members and 34,000 clubs. In addition to Rotary locally, we have a new club called Rotaract, which Liam is part of, and it's affiliated with Rotary International. And we also have two Interact clubs in the high schools here on a local basis. We do an awful lot with literacy kids, youth services. We sponsor the Book Trust. We just had a wonderful annual gala dinner. That portion of the proceeds are going to Food for Our Children, which is a backpack program. So we're really geared on education. We do international projects. Last year, we helped fund a prosthetic clinic that was being built over in Kenya. We've got an upcoming project in Mexico that we're going to be doing where we're outfitting a computer lab for about 1,900 students in Zihuatanejo. We've got a wonderful leadership program that we put on called Mini Rila, and that's for high school students. That's coming up in November. It's going to be out at Western Pleasure Guest Ranch. Just an amazing group of community-oriented, want-to-give-back people.
I will mention that Mel is going to be our president starting June 1st for the next fiscal year. We're very excited to have him.
Well, congrats on that, Mel.
I am excited about it.
Yeah.
So we just want to wrap up a little bit. And Liam, I just wanted to hear one more time from you about the newly added event called the Children's Ride, I guess you're calling it. Tell us about it again.
Yes, yeah, the Family Fun Ride. Just really quickly, there's all the information is available on the website, chafe150.org, or the Facebook page. But it's a great family event for kids to get to ride with a police escort from City Beach to Boyer, and then on the bike path in a very safe, And controlled environment, but again, a very fun environment out to City Park, Dover City Park. There's going to be a ton of different activities out there, from face painting and bouncy castles to snacks to magicians to different reading events. We're planning on having volunteers read to the kids out there to tie in with the literacy element. We think it's going to be a great activity for the community. And even if you have really, really little ones, you know, you can always meet up with your family and, you know, kind of do half and half. Starting from City Beach and then, you know, also arriving at Dover City Park. So we think it's going to be a lot of fun, and really recommend everyone to sign up and register online as soon as possible.
Yeah, it'd be good to get registered early. So I'd give you guys a kind of a bead on how many you'll have, but as well to get the kids excited about it.
Yes, yeah. Yes, I think so. There's one of those things where you really have to get something on your calendar. Otherwise, you know, everybody's busy. You tend to forget about things. So at the very least, I would say please mark it down on your calendar. Go to the website, check it out. You know, it takes 5 to 10 minutes to register online. And the great thing about registering early is that you get, for the early registrants, we're going to have t-shirts, you know, that we can guarantee. And we're going to have goodie bags, etc. Obviously, if you show up day of, we're not going to be able to guarantee that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the kids have a chance to win a bicycle.
Yes, yes. So we're definitely encouraging the kids to get out and do a bit of fundraising. As Ilana pointed out, from as little as $25, you're able to get a neat prize. $50, you're getting a brand new bike helmet. And then from $500, you're getting a brand new bike. And again, it's all money going towards a great cause.
Yeah, and some of the kids are going to take that challenge, I'm sure.
We hope so. We hope so. We think it builds a lot of life skills.
The swag bags for the Family Fun Ride are going to be great, too. I've seen a lot of the things that are going in it, and that's going to be a terrific thing for them to have.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, they're getting little safety kits, they're getting fidget spinners, they're getting a bunch of little things that different businesses from the community have been kind enough to donate. Mm-hmm. And so the kids are really getting a lot. They're getting a lot more than $10 worth out of this event.
Okay, well, any last words? I know this is June 15th. It's time to sign up, to register. And just last words.
Don't miss the opportunity to hear a world-class Paralympic gold medalist on June 14th, 5:30 to 7:30, $35. You can get tickets at our Facebook page.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, thank you, Ilana, Mel, and Liam, for coming in and telling us about the CHAFE. And I guess I better get signed up too, huh?
Today, Chris, and I'm going to be checking.
Okay, you be checking for that. And Mel, I'll be contacting you about your pledge to my ride.
I will.
And thank you so much for coming in and keeping us informed about this wonderful community event. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Yep. And Susie, we have an event of our own coming up here. It's actually kind of kicking off next week, I believe.
That's right. We have our annual on-air membership drive. It's coming up June 7th and 8th. And we're leading up to that with special morning shows all week next week. I'll just go through the list real quick.
Yeah, we have time.
So on Tuesday, June 4th, we have three guests coming in to sit with Julie Calamine and Phil Huff, the morning show host. The guests will be from the Idaho Conservation League, Keoki Media. Hey, someone by the name of Chris Bessler is going to be a guest on the Tuesday morning show.
Talk about media matters, yeah.
And then we're going to look at KRFY program, a new program that came up about a year ago, maybe. It's with Ricky Witte, and she'll be talking about her new show called Harriet Pink and the Morning After. That's every Sunday at noon to 2. And so then on Wednesday, we have Chris and Susie, that's us. We'll be sitting down with the Sandpoint Resource Center, the Bay Trail Fun Run people again, because this is an important time for them to get people excited, and the City of Sandpoint, Jennifer Stapleton, and hopefully Mayor Ronstedt will be with us. And then on Thursday, we'll have the Sandpoint Chamber, Kate McAllister, and the Community Food Bank, Debbie Love, will be coming in to talk with Jack and Jim Healy for the Thursday morning show. And then they're going to spend a good portion of time talking about their two shows, the folk show and the Norwester. Mm-hmm. So that's the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday leading up to our big event.
The regular morning shows will have all that information about the stuff that's happening in our community and about KRFY itself. And then Friday and Saturday are the actual days of the membership drive. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there's every two-hour period, there is a underwriter or a community organization to talk to, and usually a musician. I'm just going to talk about the music because there's too many to list otherwise. On Friday, some of the music, there'll be a focus on Woodstock music. It is the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. And so Jim Healy and Gail Finley, better known as Velma Queen of Fun, will be showcasing Woodstock music. That's at the 10 to 12 o'clock hours. Then we have the Paranormal Daves, and that's at 1 o'clock on Friday. That's Dave Hussey and Dave Gunter. Great to always have them on. Then Patrice Webb, Doug Bond, Ken McGinnis, and in the evening, Jack will have something, a surprise for us. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday, Jim and Gail Finley will be focusing on festival music this year, and Paul Gunter and possibly Molly Rickert from the festival will be there. There'll be ticket giveaways. I'll just give you a little clue right there. Mm-hmm. That's in the morning. And then we have Jake Robbins, Music Conservatory of Sandpoint's bringing in a harpist and two fiddle players, or violin players, I should say. And then Brian Jacobs and possibly the RFB band.
Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, all during the course of the day, there's also talks with different folks from community organizations, mm-hmm. Our underwriters. And, you know, if you came by the radio station during those hours, you might get a chance to say a little shout out on the radio live in your own voice.
And you could dedicate a song, pick a song and dedicate it to someone. That's always fun.
That's fun.
And bring your children. They like to do that, too.
Yeah.
So the doors are open for 2 days, June 7th and 8th, from 8 in the morning to 8 at night. And it's a party, so come and join us.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. That's next Friday and Saturday. And, of course, we'll have those special morning shows all next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I think that's our lowdown on what's going on around KRFY and the community as we see it. So about time for us to sign off. Susie, any final words?
I hope everyone has a beautiful day. That's all I can say.
Okay, we're going to go out with another local musician. This is Scott Kirby. He's playing Evergreen Rag.